Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight. Hey, Katie.
Hey.
How you doing?
You know, it's Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday. It's a very Tuesday. I always say this. Maybe never here. But at work, I say it a lot. I think Tuesday's the worst day of the week. Because, yeah. Like, Monday, you're, like, at least feeling, like, a little refreshed from the weekend. Wednesday, you're like, oh, my God, like, I'm about to be over the hump.
True.
Thursday, you're like, I only have one more day till Friday. And Friday's just, like, whatever. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, like, you're, like, far from the weekend and you're not close enough.
Yeah. Like, you just, like, you're, like, now in the muddied water.
Yeah. So that's my take. I think Tuesday is, like, the March of the week. March being the worst month.
Yes. But I also think February is, like, either the worst or the second worst.
Yeah. No, like, they're both pretty
shitty.
They're
interchangeable for different reasons.
Yeah, March, because it should be spring, but it's, like, not yet.
No.
February is just, like, cold and gray. But at least you get President's Day off from work. So, like, at least I get a day off.
There's one day. Whereas, like, in March, there are no days. I will say the only thing March has is we spring ahead.
Yeah.
Which I think
the sun is setting later.
Yes.
Every day.
Five.
Yeah.
Which, like, I'm also so annoyed. So I had a big fight with, not like a big fight, but like a bit of a scuffle, if you will. So when we lived in South Carolina, the sun obviously is just stronger. It's out all the time. I was tan in the winter. It was beautiful. But my husband was like, what are you talking about? The sun sets later in the South. I'm like, look at the fuck up. The sun used to set later when we lived in South Carolina, and I was proven correct.
Yeah,
it did. And like,
because you're more west.
More, yes, exactly. So I don't know. Maybe his geography just wasn't very good in school, whereas mine was. But yeah, I was.
Yeah,
like, I'm
the
going
country
next week for
the
work.
The country kind of curves in a little bit.
She shifts
curves
a
in.
So like, yeah. Next week I'm in Clearwater Beach. The sun goes down at 5:55. Bless.
Yeah, it's nice.
So
even when I go visit my brother, who's on the east coast of Florida, it sets like an hour later there, or like 30 minutes later. But yeah, they do get extra, depending on where you are in the time zone.
Yeah.
You know? We just happen to be like in the, like, we're right in the beginning being in New Jersey, unfortunately. So it gets dark here rather early, which makes me tired. And then I get home from work and it's dark out. I'm like, I don't want to go back out and go to the gym.
This is the first year in a while that I feel like, talk to me in 2 months, but this is the first year, knock on wood so far, where I don't feel like the seasonal depression has hit me as much.
Same. I've been a lot.
And I wonder, this is my theory, because this applies to you too, because you actually are in good health. And are probably, like, out working out more and, like, moving your body more. Like, now I can run now.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, those, like, even if it's just, like, driving somewhere and then going into a gym, you're still outdoors for a little bit. Whereas, and, like, for me, I'm running outside. But I wonder if that's, like, helping.
Maybe. That would make sense. I was going to say for you, because you have the kids, you don't have time to, like, go into a seasonal depression.
No. There is no time to be depressed over here.
It's actually so weird. So I've obviously been ovulating for the past year, obviously with no period, which is amazing. But yesterday was the first day that I got, like, the ovulation, like, ovarian cramps.
Ooh.
I was, like, at the gym and I was, like, getting this, like, stabbing pain. And I was, like, I have not felt that in so long. I got home and I was, like, I'm, like, yeah, it's, like, pretty bad. And then I was, like, well, no, like, it's not. I'm, like, it's not a bad cramp at all. Like, it just – I haven't felt the ovarian, like, cramping in a really long time. It was just, like, really weird. I was like, oh, they're still in there. They're working.
That's they're still doing something. It's just nothing's gonna happen with it.
You know, I know I've been ovulating because I've been having the mood swings and definitely overeating during my luteal phase and all the other symptoms.
But
I haven't had I haven't had the cramp in a while. And I was like, oh, hello. Welcome. Welcome.
No, it's the worst. I actually, I swore up and down I would never go back on birth control. Your girl went back on birth control real quick after baby two. And I never really got a, I never got a period when I was on birth control prior.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think my body's starting to do the same thing as it used to. Like, it's starting to get rid of it. But I obviously had a panic attack because I didn't get a period. Like, I had a spotting, if you will, towards the end of the week. But for the first 3 days, I literally sat there. I worked myself up into a panic attack. And I apologize for any of the girlies out there that want to be pregnant. I don't anymore. But yeah, I worked myself up into a tizzy because I was like, it went right now. I don't know if I'm going to be well. Three under three just sounds, for me, like a literal nightmare. So,
3 under 3 sounds like a nightmare for, I feel like, for probably a lot of people.
I literally asked one of my friends who have 3 under 3, and I was like, what'd you do? She's like, I think I blacked out for like a whole year. And I was like, okay.
It's the only way to get through it.
It has to be. Has to.
I just can't imagine because, like, I feel like you sacrifice so much already to be like, now, I don't know. Like, if you've done it, and whether it was planned or not planned, I give you a lot of credit because I feel like I'm too selfish of a person and I think I would lose my mind. Like, I feel like you like lose like yourself a little bit because you don't have time to do anything but parent.
And like, there's a difference between 1 and 2. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Yes, I think there's different challenges. I don't think it's as hard because you've been through that first time mom phase, but like, it's so much, if it was just Leah, it's very easy to be like, I'm leaving, goodbye. Like, here's one child. I understand now why people do gaps between years, because if Leah could understand and like comprehend what I'm saying or Tom's saying to her, difference. But because she's literally only a year and a half, she's smart, but she doesn't comprehend everything. So it's just like a whole different challenge. So like to literally pawn off 2 kids is a lot different, especially when like one doesn't still sleep through the night, he's a baby, whatever. We can go on a tangent, but to do 3 of that, I already feel like I don't have time for myself, which we'll talk about in a second when it comes to reading. But like, I could imagine adding another one to the mix.
No, I can't imagine.
This kitchen is fucking closed. Shut tight. Condemned.
The kitchen is condemned.
I love my children. Feel blessed, but no thank you.
That's completely fine and understandable and like a normal feeling to have.
So anywho's, we're here to talk to you about books, not speak of my reproductive self. And speaking of not having enough time, we are in sleep training with Liam, because I won't fuck that up this time like we did with Leah. Taking care of babies, I feel like I should get paid for this because I'm sponsoring her right now. But she is a lifesaver. She's a godsend. I would give her all of my paychecks. I would give her my children as gifts. She's wonderful. So we are following her step-by-step guide again for Liam. I will say it's different because we're doing it with a 5-month-old versus when we were doing it like a 9-month-old. But it's working somewhat, mostly kind of sort of, you know what I mean? Any difficulties. By the time I get them down, I feel like I pick up my Kindle, I tell my husband to shoo, and then all of a sudden, like 30 minutes later, I'm like, I need to go to bed.
Yeah.
But I've been reading Quicksilver.
Oh, I have the audio downloaded.
So I sampled the audio and I'm kind of glad I've read 35% of the book. Okay. It is really fucking good. Teresa and I have said this a few other times recently about fantasy books. Wait, I don't know. Is this her first book? I know nothing of this Cali girl. But she doesn't info dump you, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah.
We've said that before. Like, normally the first 20% of a fantasy book is like the hardest to muck through. I don't feel like that. The sheer fact that I'm only at 30% and I've been reading this for like 4 days is because I literally am waiting for 30 minutes and I'm passing out. But it's really good. So I sampled the audio. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if the voices are the voices that I was hearing.
Okay.
So I'd be curious, like, if you did it from the start with the audio.
Well, we can add it to the February.
Yeah.
And discuss it as an episode.
because like I'm real, like I want, like I want to find time to read this because I'm really liking it.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I haven't done that recently with fantasy. I feel like I'm like, it's, you know.
I mean, I am doing my
you're doing the yeah.
Fourth Wing Iron Flame reread. And it's getting me excited for Onyx Storm. Like, Fourth Wing really is so good.
So good.
And, like, yes, Iron Flame is not as good as the Fourth Wing. Like, Iron Flame had, I had issues with it, but I still really liked it. But, like, I forgot how much I liked, the world and the characters. So I have high hopes for Onyx Storm. And I'm happy that she took, like, a little bit more time to write it and have it, you know, edited and everything. Like, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. But it's getting me excited and it's like putting me kind of back in that like, I remember like why I fell in love with fantasy romance. I think it's kind of like any genre. When we started this, we read a lot of fantasy romance. Yeah. And then it kind of got, everything kind of started reading the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the genre, I think, just got, like, muddled down because fantasy romance at the time was super popular.
Yes.
And a lot of things started, like, melding together. And it kind of – a lot of books were, like, kind of – I don't want to say this, but I'm going to. A lot of books felt like ripoffs of other popular books. Like, there didn't seem to be a new novel idea or anything unique about them. And I've said this, too, about the hockey romance genre. When I first started reading the hockey romances – before, you know, the genre blew up, they were great. And then it kind of got inundated with, like, a lot of bad hockey romances. And now I just, like, really don't pick them up anymore because I haven't found one that I really loved in a long time. I feel like that's also happening to the small town romance genre. There's a lot of really good ones, but I feel like small town became a very popular genre. And a lot of people jumped in. And there's a lot you can do with small town. I just feel like, I don't know, we say this a lot, but like small town specifically, it's like small town romance, fake dating, billionaire. Like a lot of times small town just becomes like a dumping ground for like everything that's popular.
Yeah.
And I feel like some fantasy romance books kind of also became like a dumping ground for everything that was popular in the fantasy genre, like at that time. So there's some that I've read like recently that I really liked. And tried and true authors, I'll continue to read, like Carissa Broadbent, Sarah J. Maas. I mean, I'm really into The Fourth Wing. We've been, hopefully, like I said, hopefully on a storm, whatever.
For a reason.
Yeah. But it's hard for me now to care about new series because I just, like, have a bad taste in my mouth because I feel like there was a lot that I was reading that I didn't like. And fantasy, to me, you have to really invest a lot more of your time into it because you have to be able to understand a new world and understand a new system and kind of like build all this in your head where like the time commitment, if it's not good, then I don't want to waste my time on it.
No.
If I waste my time on a small town romance, it's 300 pages, whatever. It's like 6 hours out of my life.
Yeah.
Fuck it. But if I'm investing my time into a fantasy romance, that's going to take me like 3 days to get through and I get through it and I hated it, like now I'm pissed.
Yeah. Or like okay, let's talk Shadowlands.
Yeah.
No, is it Shadowlands?
Yep.
Okay. And even Zodiac Academy. You and I, and we could speak a little bit differently to the Zodiac Academy. I can't even like I can't really comment too much because you haven't finished it. But like Shadowlands, you and I were so fucking obsessed with. I thought the books were a perfect length. Like even in terms of series length, like it was a longer series. I'd say five books, yeah. 5 or 6. But when your books are maxing out at like 400 pages, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Like the last two, okay, Teresa Marie Spada Olini does not DNF, and she DNF'd the last book of the Shadowlands series. I'm just saying that speaks volumes.
Very big bot. Like, I hate read the entire Serpent and Dove series. I did not even like the first book, and I was like, I'm finishing this.
Finish this.
I read 3 books that I hated just so that I can like have like form like an opinion that I can, you know, you guys know I love being on a soapbox and like talking about everything I hate. I had to read those 3 books so that I could like get literally up stand up and like talk about how much I hated them.
you're backing yourself up. Like, if you're going to talk shit, you read the whole series, you could talk the shit.
Yeah. So, like, for me to DNF that last book, after loving, we love the first three.
Yes.
Right? There's five of them.
Was there five? Yes.
Or was it six? And we liked the first four, and then the fifth one got weird, and then the sixth one, I was like, I can't read this.
Let's look. Shadowlands. Either way, that's exactly what happened. You and I were, like, balls to the walls obsessed, and then all of a sudden, it just, like, something happened.
It turned from a good fantasy romance series to, like...
It's called Shadowlands. What's her name? What's the author?
Stacey Marie Brown? Shadowlands. Deadlands?
Savage Lands!
I blocked it out.
Same. This series, you had it on your Christmas wish list. I think I bought it for you.
You bought it for me for officiating your wedding.
Oh, yes. Return the ones you just bought. I think you got rid of them.
I sold them.
Wait. Teresa Marie? She's adding more books to the series.
There's no.
7 and 8. Yes. Yes.
It's probably like spinoffs with like different characters. There's no way.
This came out in March.
The entire series?
About Ash, yeah.
Yeah, the entire series.
It's 6 books long. 4 books were
good.
We're good. Book 5, don't know what the frig was happening there.
All it was, oh, the king or who, I forget whoever was fucking in charge. This person wants me dead. They're going to kill me. And then like the guy like had like literally every opportunity to kill her and she never died.
Yeah.
And then... It just turned into like these two people like fucking each other. And I was like, I just don't care anymore because now like there's no plot. Yeah. It just really, she really fumbled. Really
derailed.
Yeah, she fumbled.
I think she just went straight spice, which, but again, like,
they don't fuck until the third book. So you can't go slow burn and then lose the plot just for sex.
And like that slow burn
was great.
Like, if you wanted to give this a shot, I'd say stop at book 4. You're not going to get any resolutions for the end. It doesn't fucking matter, though. The first 4 books are great. But Sam goes for Zodiac Academy. Like, and I have bigger qualms with this one because...
I have a Zodiac Academy theory. Why we are like... Okay, because we...
I love and I hate it. It's like one of those relationships. I love it and I fucking hate it.
Zodiac Academy to me... Books 1 through 6 are perfect.
Perfection.
7, amazing.
Should have ended.
It should have ended at 8, like they said. When I was reading book 8, I did not hate book 8. What they did, I don't even think it's the fact that they wrote the 9th book as the last book. It's all the shit they put out in between. All the novellas and all like the like other bullshit.
Yeah.
Things that they wrote and put out. That were connected to the Zodiac Academy, like, world. And they were like, oh, you need... And, like, they made the series a joke.
Yes.
I think that if they just wrote book 8 as they did, and then didn't put anything else out, and then 2 years later dropped book 9, we would think differently of it. Because I think that the last book wasn't bad.
But this is my issue with book 8. You're right. We didn't not...
There was a lot that we didn't need.
That and I think that's what like bothers me too. Geraldine was a comical relief in the other books. They made her into a laughing stock. I couldn't
like a caricature of her character. Yes,
like to the point where like I started skipping her chapters because I didn't I couldn't read her anymore. Like it became annoying. And then the whole back and forth with Seth and what's his name. Like I understand I think there's a difference between tension. And then just writing to write because you're trying to, like, I feel like their goal was to write 1,200 pages and they filled that goal. But they didn't think about, like, the content or what they were putting in there. Like, I think a lot of scenes could have been taken out and had that happened, I think they would have had a masterpiece of 7 or with 8, I'm sorry, and plus ending. And then in 8, they brought up, like, new potential issues. The fuck?
Yeah.
I didn't do the last book. And I even, okay, so you and I both, the Bordeaux are phenomenal. They can narrate the fuck out of anything. They can read the most boring story and I think breathe life into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their like qualifications or what their like specifications were for the last book, but when I started to listen to it, because I was like, fuck it, I'll just listen to it. They made it kind of how, what's that one where they did like a Jasmine spinoff?
Oh my God, that was so bad.
Like, it started serious, but then like it turned like they try to make light of everything. That's exactly what they did to the last book. And I was like, wait, I'm sorry, hold on. This was never the vibe of Zodiac Academy. It was more of like a very serious kind of like.
The reason why it was so good was it was very serious. And there was like a plot that went throughout all of the books. And it had funny comic relief moments.
Yes.
But then they just like turned everything into the comedy part.
Yes.
And it's like, there is such thing as like too much of a good thing.
Yes.
Everybody loved Geraldine. Nobody was asking for Geraldine POVs.
No.
We also didn't need Max POVs and Seth POVs and Kayla POVs.
We didn't need the siblings POVs. Like maybe besides Xavier.
Yeah, like, maybe. But like, again, like, but maybe they could have thrown in like three like random POV. Like if Caleb was out doing something and we needed to know, put it in. But we don't need like,
yeah.
I did not need a Caleb and Seth love storyline. We could have learned about their love and their relationship through Darcy, Tori, yes. Lance, and whatever the fuck his name is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We didn't like need all of those excess things.
No.
And I think like they took something that was so great and they kind of like dumbed it down, yes. when it should have been ramping up and getting better.
Yes. Yes.
Lance and Darcy literally carried the series. For me personally, those are my two favorite. But they carried 7, 8, and 9. Like, they're the only storyline that I think stayed consistent throughout the entire 9 books.
Yeah, I can't say for the 9th, but like, I agree. Because yeah. I feel like Darius, and I know people are Darius and Tori lovers, and that's fine. Like, I like them too.
Yeah.
But I think their storyline, again, like, kind of started to, like, shift, and I'm like, I don't know if that's believable anymore. Like, yeah. based on who they were for the first 6 books.
Right.
So, I'm with you. And, like, you, Mary, and I were talking about this on the side. Like, I think there is a perfect number for fantasy series. I think once you start going down a rabbit hole, especially if you're going to be pushing out books that are over 500 and 600 pages, if you're pumping out like 600, 700, 800 page books, fine. But think about, and again, this is, you're talking to two, I think, heavy romance readers. We've made a switch. We like our fantasy. Some diehard fantasy people might be shaking their head going, you guys are stupid. And that is fine. You may call us that. That's cool.
Yeah, but whatever.
For us, like, I really do feel like there's a perfect series limit. And like, it's 3 or 4 for like a thicker series. If you want to do like a Savage Lands types of thing where you're literally not writing over 400 pages, give me a 6 or 7 book series.
Yeah.
That's fine.
The only series that I've needed to be 7 to 8 books is Throne of Glass.
Yes.
And like, maybe this is going to be controversial. Maybe. Even ACOTAR. I don't think Silver Flame should have been written. I think ACOTAR, that series should have just ended at Wings and Ruin. I didn't need a Cassie and a Nesta story. I don't need, I mean, like, yes, when the 6th book comes out, I'm going to devour it. I fucking love it. But to me, when I say I love ACOTAR, I'm not including Silver Flames. That's a whole nother ACOTAR series.
ACOTAR to me is like those 3 books in the novella.
Yes.
That is ACOTAR. I wish there was a different,
I just wish it was a different series. Like, I don't care that, I think she did this, like, I wish she would have done a spinoff series and called it, like, something else that followed Cassie and Inesta and Azriel and everybody else.
I'm with you.
Like, I think that would have been better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I say ACOTAR, I mean, like, those 3.
Yes.
And then Silver Flames is something different to me.
Yes. That is, like, a different, yeah, that's not.
And again, that's 3 books and those are perfection. And I know people are going to talk shit about Crescent City. Those 3 books to me are perfection. Throne of Glass is the only, I'm trying to think of like other, okay, Throne of Glass did it perfectly. Plated Prisoner, loved, but again, we did not need Glow or Gold. We did not need Gold. Goldfinch made up for it, but Gold was so bad that like when I went into Goldfinch, I was just kind of like, it took me a while to get back into it because I had such a bad taste in my mouth reading Gold.
I haven't even, and like you laughed at me because you're like, you're going to love this. I was like, I put this off. And like, I started reading it, I'm upset. Like Gleam is phenomenal,
yeah.
But I haven't picked up the rest of the series because, like, I mean, I've even asked, like, can I skip this book? And you're like, but you need to maybe read, like, the last 20%, which is fine. But, like, that stinks too. Like, I don't want to read the last quarter of a book almost, like, just kind of like get some info.
And then, like, even, okay, so from Blood and Ash, I love books 1 through 4. Like, we liked War of Two Queens.
Yes, we did.
Like, a lot. And I know that she's been taking, I mean, that came out, it'll be 2 years by the time the last book in that series comes out. And I didn't even mind, I liked Shadow and the Ember. Books 1 and 2, I think Shadow and the Ember were really good. Book 3, I liked it. I wish it was shorter because I don't think enough happened. She didn't need to write that Castiel book, Soul of Blood and Ash, whatever.
Absolutely no.
Because we read it, and now, like, I feel like now I'm mad about having to now read, but, like, I love the characters, and I love the series, so I'm like, I don't want this one bad book in a series that I otherwise like to, like, ruin the series for me, but... There's just some, like, I'm like worried because I feel like these all, yeah.
To kind of, you had to read books to read books. I don't like that. I don't think that's fair. And again, come at me if you want to. I just don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
If I want to read something, especially if I'm like already in a series, I want to be able to continue in that series and I'll have to go read something else to be able to continue in the series that I've already started. Like, I can see if it's like, hey, this is what's coming out and this is going to be the order you need to do. Cool. But, like, don't have me start a series and then tell me you can continue, but, like, it's going to be helpful if you go back and read these.
Yeah.
Which, like, we did prove when we read War of Two Queens.
Because I
you did it and I didn't. And there were some things I was like, what the, what?
Like, you're like, who is this person?
Yeah. And you're like, well, if you read it, it would be like, I don't think that's fair to start midway through a series to say, now you need to go back.
Yeah.
What if I don't want to?
Yeah. So moral of the story is we think that all fantasy romance series should not exceed 3 books. And that is why I'm a little bit nervous for Fourth Wing. The series, yes. I know it's called the Empyrean series, but, like, nobody calls it that. I'm a little nervous for the series because I think it's going to be 7 books. And there's already, like, a lot happening. And I just feel like it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, the way that Iron Flame ends, spoiler alert if you haven't read them, the way that it ends with, like, Zayden becoming Venom-ish or whatever. Like, yes, obviously we have to cure him. But to me, it just means that they're going to be separated. And them being separated is going to piss me off. Yeah. If it's done well, it's done well, and I'll like it and I'll read it. I love angsty. Like, I love angst. So, like, but I just feel like they got together in book 1 and it was great and I loved it. And then they spent a bunch of time in book 2 arguing and not being together. And now this Venom thing, I think, is going to be something else that, like, kind of, like, they're going to – I just don't want the whole series to be, like, them, like, separating to come back together. Like, yeah. I kind of need them to be together by the end of book 3, like, very solidly together. And then if they need to separate to go on, like, different excursions, like how Rowan and Aelin had to separate and then, like, come back together, that's fine. Like, go, like, whatever. But I just don't see why this needs to be 7 books. But I don't think I would have thought Throne of Glass needed to be 7 books if I only read the first 3 and had to wait. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
we're going to give it the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, we're going to do it. 100%.
Yeah.
We're going to try it out. I hope we get to eat our words. I really do. This has potential.
Yeah. That's the thing. There's a lot of potential and I'm just worried, but there's, like, no reason.
That's what it is. I'm worried too.
Yeah. There's no reason for me to be worried specifically about Rebecca Yarros and, like, the storyline. I've just been bitten by other authors and other series. And so now I'm worried.
Yes.
But there's nothing, like, that she's done specifically.
Nope. But even, like, Quicksilver, right? Like, I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah.
I know there's a second book. How many more? Because already book 1 is, like, 600-something pages.
Yeah.
I don't know. I start getting, like, like, you want to write a long book? Cool. But, like, make sure it's worth my time.
We're being brats. Katie was like, I think it was, like, last week you were like, I don't want to read, like, 1,000 pages. And I was like, don't, about Onyx Storm. And I was like, don't worry. I looked it up. It's like 600 pages. Totally normal for a third book in a fantasy series. Like,
so I made the decision because I actually listened to this. This is going to be mind blowing.
Let's hear it.
I made a TBR for January.
Okay.
I had stuck to it. Okay. Mood yeah. reader. And I know, like, I'm surprised. I was going to actually divert with this one audiobook I'm doing. But I have stuck to my guns. I'm almost done listening to it. I might need to skip a part. I feel like it's going to get really cringy at one point, and I don't know if I can handle the secondhand embarrassment.
Okay.
But literally, okay. So on my physical, I had the Rom-Commers.
Okay.
Quicksilver. I did put Onyx Storm, All the Missing Pieces, and Out of the Woods. I've never actually physically read with my eyeballs a Catherine Cowles book. I derailed that. I ended up listening to All the Missing Pieces. It is phenomenal. She does. Okay. She has the best narrators. But on audio, I had Five Survive, Her Screams in the Silence, Phantasma, and For the Love of Friends. I'm almost done with the Love of Friends, and I have Phantasma left, but I'm like, it's only the 14th. So I'm going to need another audiobook because I'm going to blow through them. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do Onyx Storms. I run enough now where, like, yeah. I know I can take through it. I can clean my house. There's things that I can do to keep myself busy, because especially because we're doing an episode on it also. It's already been taking me 5 days to get through 30% of Quicksilver. So I was like, I can't derail us. But I couldn't believe I actually stuck to a TBR list so far.
I know. Look at you.
Why?
I said it before, I've been struggling with audio. I'm only, like, really getting through Iron Flame, and I got through Fourth Wing because this is, like, my third reread of it. So, like, I can, like, work and, like, listen because, like, I know what's happening.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, that's, like, why, like, I downloaded Quicksilver, the audio, but, like, a part of me is also, like, I might just do a hybrid. Like, if I'm driving, I'll listen. Yeah. If I'm home, I can read it. Yeah.
I like to look at, so Audible's expensive. You and I say this all the time. We always get recs for alternatives. There's something called chirp, where things do go on crazy sale. I will say Audible's been having a couple of decent sales too. So I've been purchasing a couple of things instead of using my credits.
Yep.
I keep telling Tom I switched his credit card off of my Audible, but I haven't. So. You're like, what's this $40 charge? I'm like, it's pajamas for Leah. And I'm like, it's my like,
that's definitely not for me.
But Chirp, I think people should look into. Like, you do have to pay attention, and you can, like, favorite them, kind of like a wish list with Audible.
Okay.
And you'll get an alert if it is on sale. Erica from Bookish Besties told me about it.
Okay, I have to download it then.
You should. I will say, like, there's been a couple I've been searching around, and I'm like, okay, like, this is helpful. I do think it's a weird app, though, because I think you have to go online to, like, on the web, like, on a website to look at the audiobooks, and then you can download them to your app, which is kind of a pain in the tush, if I'm not gonna lie. It's a little annoying.
But whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, it literally says browse hundreds of audiobooks up to 95% off. So, like, if something's $2, sure, click, purchase, buy, done. And then you can get, like, personalized recommendations. So there's me passing it along to everyone else. We don't gatekeep over here. We're talking about the rom-commers and a different.
Yeah, so we're talking about I finished that today.
It was cute. If you have not, okay, so Catherine Cowles, let's talk about All the Missing Pieces. I'm a Catherine Cowles fan. I will say, I think a lot of her stuff is kind of, I don't want to say repetitive, it's mystery romance, right? It's like romance, like suspense. I think she always has good plots. Whatever she does for each series, I think she does it very well. Because, like you were saying with small town romance, like, I don't want to say it's easy because I don't think it is, but, like, she does it very well. I will say a lot of trauma typically happens to one of the main characters, which is fine, like, in terms of, like, past issues. So it can be, like, a little heavier depending. Like, I definitely say, like, check your trigger warnings before you download one of her books. Same could be said for All the Missing Pieces, but I feel like it has an airy component, like a light and airy component that a lot of her other books do not have. It is fucking phenomenal. It is my favorite Catherine Cowles book. Download it, read it. I don't care. You need to do it. It's so fucking good. Like, I'm still thinking about it. I'm upset that it's over. Five Survive. Okay, so I'm asking as if, like, people are, like, with us. 19 Minutes. I don't know if you ever heard of that book.
19 minutes?
Yeah, I read it a long time ago. Oh, it's Jodi Picoult. Shocker! So it is about a school shooting. If you have not read it, it is...
Oh, I've heard about this.
It is really, really good. Five Survive is also a shooting. There is one location for this whole book. Like, you are trapped in this RV. That is the story. The fact that Holly Jackson can write a phenomenal book where you are literally in one location, I think is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's... Check your trigger warnings. There's death. But, like, it's really good. I'm listening to the For the Love of Friends. It's about a girl who's in a bunch of weddings. She's in five. I think it's actually, people are like, oh, it's like 27 dresses. It's nothing fucking like 27 dresses. Like, yeah, I think
five weddings is like, I've been in five weddings.
I will say these are more like Bridezilla-ish people. Like, they're turning. I also think it's a really good story for... Okay, so she's single. Obviously, all of her friends are getting married, including her baby brother and baby sister. Like, they make fun of her, and she calls her, like, a toddler. This girl, the main character, is 31 or 32, and her baby sister is 24 getting married. Toddler.
Yeah.
But she ends up starting a blog, kind of, like, going off about, not the brides, but just, like, the crazy, like, bridesmaids. Like, she's got some wild stories. And, like, there is a little romance budding, which is cute. But I think it's kind of nice for like a check-ins because it's kind of like all of my friends are like moving on, but they're not moving on with me. Like, I'm kind of getting left in the dust.
Yeah.
If I'm invited somewhere, which is far few between now, like if I try to bring something up, someone's like, oh, which reminds me about this. And it's like, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But like
the combo
flips back to over to like wedding talks. Like, it's kind of interesting. I have a feeling I know what's going to come. Obviously, people are going to find this blog. I do hear that it gets cringy during it, like total secondhand embarrassment. But ooh, it's cute. I think it's a little too long. Like, I'm kind of like at the point where I'm like, let's
get to the point.
Let's get to the fucking climax here so we can just get to the other side of this. But I was like, it's like a 3.5. It's a really decent listen, though, if like
anyone wants
to give it a go. But I think it's too long. I feel like that's all I've done.
Okay, I've done a lot.
Okay.
I really must be PMSing. Because I'm going to talk shit a little bit about two books, but they're the second book in two different series.
Okay.
So, the first series is The Bourbon Boys by Victoria Wilder. I read books one and two. Three is not out yet. There's three brothers, so each brother gets a book. The first book I really liked. And it like follows these like three brothers, and they're like, they own like a bourbon distillery, and it's also kind of like a ranch. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It was like good, and it was like smutty, and it was just like a very, I would say like palate cleansing type of book. And I just really like enjoyed the first one. I just like was having like a good time while reading it. And so I picked up the second book and I thought it was going to be better because I was like, oh, like the other brother. I don't know. I just like had like, I had vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read it and I was just like, this was so kind of dumb. I didn't even like write a review like for it. I was just like 3 stars and like moved on. And like whatever. I think I would recommend them if you're looking for just like kind of like that like small town romance-y, like a fun whatever. Fine. But then I read, and I feel like maybe you've seen these on like Instagram because there's three books, three different authors, and they all came out this week. And it's the Sky Ridge Hot Shots. So book one is Fight. I'm going to show you the cover because like maybe you'll recognize it.
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen him.
Yeah. Great cover.
Great
cover. And I was like, they're not firefighters. They're hot shots. It's a different thing, but they help fight fires. Anyway, I read the first one and I liked it. And again, like I was like reading it and I was like, okay, this is like kind of corny, but like I was enjoying myself while reading it. It was fine. Like the plot made sense. So even though it wasn't like a strong plot, the plot made sense. And this is by Sloane St. James. So I gave it 4 stars. It was more probably like a 3.75, but again, I liked it. Probably like a little bit too much smut for me, but whatever. Again, it was fine. Then I read the second book, and the second book is by Paisley Hope.
Okay.
And I gave it 2 stars. So it wasn't like, there are books that are so bad that I like become enraged about like how bad they are. This book was not that. This book was just so boring. I could not care less about either of these characters. There were no stakes. Like, the stakes were like in hell. Like, I was like, there's no reason for them to not be together. There's no reason for them to break up. Nothing happened. Nothing happens. And then it's like a second chance romance. So like, I feel like with a second chance romance, like what's so good about them is there's like yearning and angst. Like there's like this like thing that's keeping them apart, but they're like so in love from like whatever. No, no yearning. Not a single ounce of yearning.
Interesting.
And then it was just like insta love in the past, which fine, you're in high school. That's kind of normal. That's hormones. And then it's like 10 years later, they haven't spoken. And it's very like, oh, I don't, it just, oh, it was just like not good. And I was so bored in the last, I think like 20%, I literally just skimmed. I was like, I just need to finish this. And the third book I haven't read because now I'm like, do I even want to? I read The Boyfriend by Freida McFadden. And I've only ever read The Housemaid by her, which I read The Housemaid after I read The Last Mrs. Parrish. And literally, The Last Mrs. Parrish was so good. And The Housemaid, while I do think it will be a good movie and I'm very excited about it, The Housemaid was the exact same plot. And it was just like very predictable. The Boyfriend, I thought was not predictable at all. Like I really kind of, I thought I knew what was happening, but then the twist happened and it's not what I thought.
Okay.
But my issue with Freida McFadden, she's so popular. She has so many books. Her writing is so bad. Like,
is the it plot really? Was,
yeah, no, her writing's terrible.
It's fascinating to me.
She writes like very, I'm just going to read you my review. I didn't really, it's not like a, it's not a long one. But I was like, the plot was really good. It kept me wanting to read more and I didn't guess the ending. I had a lot of guesses, but they were all wrong. My big issue with Freida McFadden books is that they feel like they were written by a 10-year-old. The writing's very clunky, the dialogue does not flow, and the characters are just very basic, and there's no real depth to them. And that's what I, and again, I've only read 2 books, but that's my opinion on both of them.
Wow, interesting.
So I was like, yeah, like, well, I did have a good time reading them. I think that she needs to be sent to a writing seminar because this could have been so much better, but it felt like a first attempt at a book.
Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, like, was the book bad? No, I was intrigued. I liked the plot. Was the writing bad? Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, the writing was bad. Her writing is not good.
So interesting.
And I, like, I kind of wonder if anybody feels that way, which is me, but, like, I think she's a really bad writer.
I haven't read anything, so I can't compare.
I think she's maybe a good plot creator, and then just, like, as a writer, she's, like, a brain surgeon, I think, or something crazy.
Are you kidding? Damn.
Yeah. So if you ever see a picture of her, she's like in like a disguise. Like she's wearing like a wig and like glasses, I think. It's really? Like really funny because it's like not it's like she's like so she's like an actual doctor.
Either, obviously.
Yeah.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
So if you also feel like that about Freida McFadden, let me know so I don't feel crazy. Two more books and then I don't really need to talk about the others. I read Daydream by Hannah Grace. So it's book 3 in the Maple Hill series. Loved Icebreaker. Didn't care for Wildfire, like thought it was like very mediocre. I thought Daydream was really cute.
Okay.
Like I liked it a lot more than I thought I would, honestly. I loved Icebreaker. There was just like magic when I read it. I just like, it's not, again, it is a hockey romance, but it's not a good hockey romance. I just like the characters and how it kind of didn't follow like basic romance, like the plot. Like they break up in the middle, but then like there's just other, I don't know. I liked how she wrote it. Daydream follows Henry and Hallie. I think that's how you're supposed to pronounce her name. And they're both like very clearly like neurodivergent, like ADHD or like maybe like a little like on the spectrum. Which like I kind of like loved because like their characters are so funny together. Like the way that they like Henry has like no filter. Love and it. I think that that's pretty great. I believe that they were like in love and like that whole thing. I like the cameos from the other characters, but like Henry, I don't know if you remember him from Icebreaker. He lives with Nate.
Yes.
And he's Stassi's like best friend.
Yes. Yeah.
So like he's always been like little brother energy, and he still has that same kind of energy in this book. So like even it's a very slow burn. Like the spice is like very low. It's a very slow burn. But like I just pictured him as like my little brother, which I was like rooting him on like to find love. But then like when he started getting like sexy, I was like, oh no. I was like, Henry, like I don't wanna
let me close my eyes.
I'm your sister.
I like that. I like it.
It was really cute. And then Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. I did the audiobook. He's the author of The Martian, which was made into the movie with Matt Damon. Phenomenal. Like, this audiobook was so good. Definitely my favorite audiobook of the year. And I'm going to say that in January.
That's
like,
that's a bold statement.
It was just done so well. It was so entertaining. The plot, I loved the characters. There's like a few of them, but like the characters I loved, I had so much fun. It was one of those audiobooks where like every time I would like get out of my car, I'd be like, dang, like I kind of wish I was still driving. It's not a book that I would recommend reading unless you like love space and like love science, because there's a lot of like sciencey terms thrown around. And I feel like if I was reading it, I would be glazing over. I'd be like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, but maybe, like, hearing it, you can kind of just, like...
Right. Yeah, and the way the narrator is, like, taught... It's almost like you're, like... I was like, oh, he's, like, teaching me something. Like, he's, like, he's telling me a story where I'm, like, engaged in this. But if I was reading it, I feel like I'd be like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Come again.
Yeah. So, it's obviously not a romance. It's science fiction. It's literally about a guy in space by himself. The sun is dying. He needs to find, like, a cure for the thing that's, like, eating the sun.
Okay.
So, he goes out into space. And shenanigans happen. But it was really, really good. And the entire time I was picturing the main character as like Glenn Powell.
Okay.
That's like kind of like the vibe that he gives.
Okay.
And then I saw that they are making it into a movie, and Ryan Gosling is actually who was cast as Ryland Grace, which also makes sense because like Ryan Gosling and Glenn Powell kind of have the same energy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely recommend it as an audiobook. Like, I really, really liked it.
I think I'm gonna try my attempt at another, like, a February TBR.
Okay.
Maybe this will land on my audiobook one. We'll see.
I think you'll like it.
I think I'm a science geek, so.
Yeah, and he, like, runs into an alien and they, like, become, like, best friends. It's just, like, really, yeah, it's, like, really cute. Good story. It just, yeah, no, I just really, there's like nothing to not like about it. I told Gil about it and I was like, can I give you my Audible like login so you can
like
listen?
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm looking on Chirp to see. Okay, so I'm going to try to like, let me see if I could figure out how this works. Not that anyone cares about this right now. Oh, I got it. Cool. Okay,
but no, yeah, so I finished. We're going to talk next week about the rom-commers, which I finished today. Spoiler alert, I liked it. I gave it 4 stars. So, TBD for you guys. I'm not talking about it now. But I was between books. I'm like, maybe I'll start All the Missing Pieces if you're saying it, you liked
really,
it like that.
I'm not going to – you haven't done Catherine Cowles, have you?
I don't think so.
I don't think you have either. This is – I really do find all of her books to be very good. You can binge the series. I have found when I've binged them that they do tend to mesh together. They're all very good in their own rights, though. But I will say this is definitely my favorite Catherine Cowles book to date. And I'm very excited to see what
I did. Whispers of You.
Okay.
On audio.
It's really good.
Yeah, that's the only one that I've read, though.
But this is, like, to me, like, I remember the other series, bits and pieces. There's a couple that stand out a little bit more. But, like, this will stick with me. This was very, very good.
Okay.
The podcaster, a true crime podcaster. It's called, the podcast is called It Sounds Like Serial, which I was like, cool, because Serial is fucking top notch.
Yeah, it is.
And her sister just appeared. So she does have like a connection to like all the things that she is investigating. Of course, the sheriff is grumpy, perfection. His sister was kidnapped, but the sister ended up being able to escape. They haven't been able to find this guy. This girl rolls into town. basically she's coming with the thought process that if I can solve this, it's going to connect like 23 cases that she's identified, her sisters including.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool. I didn't see the twist coming. I thought for sure, I literally thought, I was like, I have this in the fucking bag. Like, I can't predict shit, but I've got this. I was fucking wrong. But it was a good time.
All right.
Animals.
Well,
nothing happens to the animals. The animals are always safe.
Oh, good.
Can't have that. What's the Hail Mary, it's called?
Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir.
Project. We don't need to talk about this on the audio of the Project Hail Mary. I just want to see if it's available on the Chirp, and it's not.
Well, then you're going to have to wait.
Yeah.
Next week, like I said, The Rom-Commers by Catherine Center. I didn't realize that she had a bunch of books out, but she does. And then the following week, we'll be doing Onyx Storm. Mm-hmm. So on the 29th, stay tuned. Early February, I believe the 5th, we will be talking to Rebecca Jenchak about her newest release, which is kind of slipping my mind right now what it's called, but it comes out next, it comes out on the 30th, maybe?
I don't know.
Anyway, it comes, whatever. We'll be interviewing Rebecca Jenchak early February. And like I just said, I mean, we said it today. So Quicksilver at some point in February, probably as well. There's a bunch of things that actually come out in February. So
we have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about. But yeah, stay tuned. And I think that's it, Katie Jean. You can send us out.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.